Hey everybody, this is David, and today this is going to be our second podcast. And with me I have Derek.
Hello world, episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
And also with me I have Kevin.
Hello everyone.
And we are going to talk about some news, and then we're going to talk about the main topics, which are the Marvel Cinematic Universe films. We started part one in our phase one in our last podcast. And today we're going to talk about phase two. And then hopefully next week we'll talk about phase three, our thoughts on what we're looking forward to. And that's going to be our first three episodes. Wow, I can't believe this is already our second week and we're already talking about phase two. I'm really excited about this. So let's talk about some news first, shall we? Number one on this list, I have Jeremy Irons is returning as Alfred in Justice League Part 1. And Derek, why don't you start us off? What do you think about this?
Well, I did some research ahead of time. Obviously, I don't know who the actor is. But yeah, he looks like a pretty interesting actor. He did Scar for...
Oh, but you saw Batman v Superman, right?
Yeah, I did. So he was Alfred there. And yeah. They had an interesting relationship in Batman v Superman. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get to see that much of him, so I wanted to see more. So I guess this is our opportunity to see who he is and how good of an actor he could be for the role. Yeah. So still, for me, he has to prove himself.
What about you, Kev?
I'm the same. I can't wait to see him again and prove himself in Justice League. Yeah, I didn't get enough of him in Batman v Superman. I think what he did do in that movie was really good, though. Enjoyed it.
I personally really thought he was great in the role, and I also know him. I don't know if you guys remember, he was also the bad guy in Die Hard with a Vengeance. He played he was the brother of Alan Rickman's character from the first Die Hard movie. In the third film, they kind of connected it back a little bit to the first film. And so he's been in a lot of other movies. I'm sure if you go down his IMDb page, you'll recognize a lot of film. And yes, like Derek mentioned, the voice of Scar. That's probably one of his most iconic roles, is a voice acting role. And Jeremy Irons, I knew he was a great actor. And actually, some of my favorite parts in Batman v Superman was the interaction between Ben Affleck and Jeremy Irons as Bruce and Alfred. I think they had great chemistry together, which gets me not just excited for this Justice League movie, knowing that they're going to be interacting again, but also with the solo Batman movie that Ben Affleck will eventually direct. So I'm very happy about this. I think this is really cool. And next on our list, we got Space Jam 2. Space Jam 2 is coming out. And LeBron James is going to take over the role that Michael Jordan once played back in 1996. That was 20 years ago. Holy cow. I feel old. Kevin, what do you think about Space Jam 2? Excited?
I don't know. I really don't know. When you first told me, I was shocked that didn't even... The idea of it is out there.
Well, it's been kind of floating around. Rumors about it has been happening. And then it became even bigger when LeBron James signed on with Warner Brothers. So that's what really started the rumors even more again. This happened like a couple of months back, maybe before the new year. And now this, they finally confirmed it. And I should also mention that the director of Furious 7, the last Fast and the Furious movie, is directing this movie. So, and I thought, you know, the last couple of Fast and the Furious movies have gotten a lot better than those first three films. So the fact that they got the last Fast and the Furious director to come and direct this movie means that this movie could be a lot of fun. That's my opinion on it. Derek?
I just don't know what to think. Like, the original Space Jam was a classic.
Exactly.
Everyone loved it. It was a great movie. It was a lot of fun. And now they're just going back the nostalgia train and trying to bring something old back again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure if they needed to do that. Like, will it tarnish what the original Space Jam did and how unique it was? Like, sometimes some movies, I feel, you don't really need to make a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Space Jam, for me, was one of them. But I guess some people will find it cool, and I don't know if LeBron James has as much star power as Michael Jordan. So we'll have to see. Am I looking forward to it? Maybe. I may check it out. Depends if it gets good reviews. But I don't know. It's also the supporting cast as well. Like, who else is going to be playing alongside of LeBron James? And will it just be a rehash of the original story, or will it be something a little bit new that we haven't seen before?
That's the thing that actually I think I echo your thoughts there, Derek, because I think that they will rehash the original. I think that's what it will be.
Yeah.
But I think the good thing is that I think the director's name is Justin Lin. I don't know if that's the director or might be James Wan. James Wan or Justin Lin. One or the other, because I get confused at which Fast and the Furious director it is. And one of them, the director of Furious 7 is directing this one. And that's the thing that's keeping me more interested, is that they got a director who knows how to give fun to the film, which is what this movie needs. If you're going to direct a Space Jam 2, make it fun. Just like the original one was, right? It was fun. And if they can pull that off, then fine. Rehash whatever you want, as long as you don't completely rehash it, you know? And hopefully they get a cameo by Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan at least needs to have a cameo in this.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Okay, so next topic we have is the first look of the new Power Ranger outfits, which, you know, had Twitter talking about. I saw it trending in Toronto for 2 days straight. I thought it was awesome. It's the most relevant Power Rangers has ever been for a while now. And so I want to talk about this. I think the suits, since I'm the fan, I'll talk first. I think the suits look really cool. They have a little bit of an Iron Man-ish type vibe, which a lot of people are saying. And I like the robotic, the creator of the suit said that he wants an alien-ish vibe, which I feel he kind of got there. Some people have been pointing out, and I do have to laugh at this part, the female Rangers have heels on their boots, and I didn't realize that at first, but I thought it was kind of funny now thinking about it. So, Derek, what did you think?
It's interesting. It looks kind of like Iron Man, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. also RoboCop slash, like, I'm not sure. It's a picture right now.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems a little bit too robotic to me, personally, but I don't know. We'll have to check it out, see what's coming up. It just looks completely different than the Rita Repulsa kind of costume. That one looked a little bit more like a costume. These ones look more like android kind of types. But isn't Mighty Morphin Power Rangers supposed to be like ninjas kind of? It seems like
there's some seasons that are like ninja based. This one wasn't, the original series wasn't ninja-based. They got ninja powers, I think, later in season 3 or something. But it was just a dinosaur-themed thing. And that's actually one of the things that kind of bothered me a little bit about the helmets, because I was looking at the helmets. The Red Ranger looks like a little bit like a Tyrannosaurus. You can see that. The Pink Ranger is supposed to be a pterodactyl. But then you see the other three, and they look nothing like dinosaurs. They look very generic-looking, their helmets. So, if you were, hey, Derek, what animals do you think the yellow, blue, and black one are? You'd probably never guess it.
No, don't.
Yeah, you're probably looking at it right now, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't see the you see the Tyrannosaurus on the Red Ranger, right?
In the helmet only.
Yeah. And the Pink Ranger is supposed to be a pterodactyl, but
what are the other ones?
The Black Ranger is supposed to be Mastodon.
Original.
Yeah, exactly. The Yellow Ranger is supposed to be a saber-toothed tiger, and the blue one is supposed to be Triceratops. They look nothing like those. The helmets don't even resemble those creatures at all.
And are they going to do the racial thing again, which the Black Ranger?
No. They actually changed the race, I guess because they didn't want to go with that controversy again that the original series went through. The Blue Ranger is actually going to be African-American this time. The Black Ranger is going to be Asian. And the Yellow Ranger is, I think she's being played by a Latino. And the Pink Ranger and Red Ranger are Caucasian. So, Kevin, your thoughts on the Ranger suits?
They look like Iron Man.
That's what everybody's saying. Yeah, you know.
That was my first initial response when I first seen the suits. I don't know. I kind of have to see them in action. They do look alien, but I don't know. I guess I'm so used to the original...
The spandex.
Spandex Power Rangers, and I mean...
I'm gonna cut in here for a second. The spandex thing, I'm glad they're getting away from that for the movie. Because let me tell you, they did a movie with the spandex. It's called Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. And Kevin, me and you know how horrible that movie is. Even from a fan's perspective, even the hardcore fans know that that movie is an embarrassment. Not because of the spandex, really, but just because it was overall just a bad movie. But the spandex also, it's embarrassing watching that on the big screen on a big budget film, right? So you don't want to go the spandex route. You want to get away from that.
Yeah.
I was
actually going to say, bring up the, you know, the original movie.
Yeah. The original movie had the right idea by putting armored-based suits. That's why I think this movie is on the right track on doing what it should be doing.
No pink spandex.
No pink spandex, exactly.
They don't need them. I mean, I don't know. Every time I look at it, I kind of say, I don't know, but I have to see them in action. Maybe once I see them in action,
the trailer,
like in the movie, or yeah, even a trailer,
yeah,
then maybe I'll be fully convinced. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, I'm kind of like iffy. Like, I this can go either way right now for me.
Okay,
so make it dark.
They said they want to make this for a slightly more mature audience, which I'm guessing is like in the teen to young adult area. So yeah,
remember that fan trailer that came out?
Yeah, that was a cool. Well, it's not going to be that dark. I don't think it should be that dark. Remember, there are generations of kids that grew up with Power Rangers, and I think they should make it like the Avengers. That's like saying, oh, they should make the Avengers rated R, you know? No, the Avengers and even Power Rangers, in my opinion, are in the same category. They're superheroes made for everybody. And so I hope this movie, the show can be just for kids. Leave the show what it is right now for kids. Make the movie for appealing to everybody who grew up with it. Okay, so I guess that's it. Next subject. Han Solo has been cast, and Alden, I'm not even going to pronounce his last name right, so I'm going to skip that part. They have a new young Han Solo for the young Han Solo spinoff film that will come after Star Wars Episode 8. And I'm going to admit it, I do not know this actor at all. I haven't seen anything he's in. I know he's in the movie Hail Caesar. But, that's all I know. I wanted to see that movie, but I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if it's out on DVD yet, but, Kevin, I'm guessing you don't know him very much either.
No.
Derek, do you know?
I actually did watch Hail Caesar myself.
And do you remember him in the movie?
Out of all the cast members in that movie, beside maybe George Clooney, he had probably a huge part. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the funnier parts in the movie, actually, so... He was pretty much typecast as one of those young, up-and-comer actors. He first got into rodeo, and from there they tried to cast him in a more serious film, and they were just really struggling with him and how he were to act because he was such a bad actor. He was only typecasted for rodeo. He couldn't branch off to other different roles. So he did really well. His scenes were actually quite funny. The movie itself, just to, I guess, go off on a tangent, wasn't the greatest, but I could see him as a Han Solo, I guess. He kind of plays a cowboy, so if you want to see, maybe you could pull up the trailer on or a clip on YouTube and see a little bit of his acting skills. But yeah, it's good to go with a new person rather than someone who's established.
I will say that I do think he looks more like Harrison Ford than, not looks, but he does look like what a Han Solo should look like. Unlike the other actors that were rumored to play. I thought they were going way too young with it. I thought a lot of them were way too young, the ones that were rumored. And this guy, I feel like he looks like the proper age that should play, and rugged too, that should play this role. That, yeah. Okay, so now we get on to our main topics, and these topics are the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're back on track, guys. Woo! And this is for Phase 2, okay? So Phase 2, this is after the first Avengers, which came out in 2012. So now we get into 2013, and our first film is Iron Man 3, directed by Shane Black. He directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I don't know if you guys seen that movie, but it's a good movie. I recommend it. It's actually the movie that got Robert Downey Jr. The role of Iron Man, because Jon Favreau, or a lot of people in Hollywood, really talk about this movie a lot. And that's the movie Jon Favreau pointed to Marvel and said, this is why we need to get Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. So, Derek, let's start off with you. What did you think of Iron Man 3?
Oh, so you can start off with me. You know, I keep pointing back to the controversy of what happened with the Mandarin, and I think that really kind of ruined the movie for me. Like, the movie itself was okay, the beginning part, and then when you get to the Mandarin, that kind of, should I say spoilers? When they reveal,
yeah,
it was kind of a joke, and it just goes downhill from there, because the Mandarin was, like everyone was saying, the Mandarin's a huge villain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a villain that really defines a character. It's a villain that a character is supposed to struggle with. And for them to just change that and make that different, it kind of lets fans a little bit down, because they're like, what if they treated the Mandarin like he was in the comic books? And then, you know, what kind of stories could they tell? And this one just kind of made fun of that. And then down at the end of the scene, they had like Iron Man destroy all his armor suits, and then it didn't really make any sense. And then he's like, I'm quitting to be Iron Man. But then he comes back in later on movies. It's just, it was a little much.
I never took that as like him quitting. I thought he was just trying to get Pepper happy or something. Like, this is just a Christmas present. But next year, I'm going to be rebuilding my suits. I don't know. That's what I thought.
It was okay. I wouldn't say it's, for me, Iron Man 1 is still my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a good Christmas theme. It was different than the other superhero movies. They didn't really have a Christmas theme or like a holiday theme to them. So that was different. And they had this unique moment with a child actor that was quite interesting. They should definitely check out. The graphics were good. Tony Stark is always, Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark is always amazing. So
mm-hmm.
you won't be disappointed. It's action packed, but yeah, just that one little gripe I had.
Kevin, what did you think of Iron Man 3?
I did not like, what's his name right now?
Mandarin?
Ooh, Mandarin, thank you. I did not like him. I think it was a bit of a waste of a villain. Actually, let me say, a waste of a villain. They should have kept him as, like, true to the comics as they were doing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the whole kind of terrorist thing that they were doing with him.
Yeah, that part was cool when they were making him the terrorist part, yeah, in the beginning. Continue.
And then, I don't know, I didn't... And then they revealed that it was just an actor. I was kind of like, oh, no.
But overall, though, what did you think of the movie, though? Because there were other stuff than just the Mandarin part, right?
Yeah, it was good. It was just, I don't know, that was a bit of a letdown. If I felt they should have just taken him out and just left the main, you know, that villain dude who ends up being at the end.
Sure.
Oh,
Adrian Killiage.
Yeah. They should have just left him for the entire movie instead of using Mandarin and just used Mandarin for another film. I would have accepted it that way. But the fact that they used Mandarin and built up all this, like, momentum, being like, oh, the Mandarin's in this film, it's going to be great. And then when we got Mandarin, it was doing good so far. And then all of a sudden, oh, I'm an actor. And then it was just like, ah.
Going in my opinion, I love this movie. I think it's a fun film. I think last year I would have said I liked it more than Iron Man 1, but just to make you happy, Derek, I think Iron Man 1 is the best Iron Man film.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
I was actually rearranging all my Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, really thinking about it. And after really thinking about it, I even put Iron Man 1 now over The Incredible Hulk. I really love The Incredible Hulk, but now I was thinking about it really hard yesterday. I'm like, okay, Iron Man 1 is the better movie. But I still like the Thor movies better than Iron Man 1. But we'll get to that later. Iron Man 3, though, I think it's a lot of fun. I think the movie is really great. We get, you know, interaction with Pepper Potts and Tony Stark, which I think is always fun in all three Iron Man movies. I think there's great chemistry there with Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow. I think Don Cheadle still kicks ass as Rhodey, even though he doesn't have much time in this one. I felt like Iron Man 2, he had more time. I feel like in this one, he was a little bit shafted. The iron suits were all cool. That whole fight sequence at the end there was all cool. Obviously, Robert Downey Jr., he's not in the Iron Man suit a lot in this movie. There's actually not a lot of Iron Man. It's mostly a Tony Stark story, which is very interesting and different from the other two movies. The Mandarin thing, yes, everybody likes to pick at that Mandarin thing. But I don't let that ruin the movie for me. I think the movie is still great despite that. I get it. I understand when people pick at that. But for me personally, it didn't weigh down the movie too much for me. So I still really enjoyed this movie. And the kid, too. The kid, I think, had great chemistry also with Robert Downey Jr. I think there were some great lines thrown back and forth at some of them. So, yeah, that's my opinion on that. Any final thoughts, guys? No? Okay, good. So we're still in 2013, but now we're in November of 2013, the first Marvel film to be released in November, or superhero film in general, right? Because it seems like every year we get more and more blockbusters, so the years are getting more packed, so fine, we're getting our first Marvel film, superhero film in November. Thor: The Dark World, and I'll start off with this one. I think this is a really cool movie. They got one of the directors from Game of Thrones, Alan Taylor, to direct this movie, who went on to direct Terminator Genesis 2 years later. And I'm going to say, I really enjoy this movie. I think they toned down on... you know that character, Natalie Portman's friend from the first movie? She's also in this movie a little bit. I'm going to be honest, I never found her character that funny, even though she clearly seems to be the comedic relief of both Thor movies, played by Kat Dennings. I felt the romance between Natalie Portman and Chris Hemsworth was a little bit better than the first movie, but still, you don't really feel that connection too much, but it was everything else about this movie that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed seeing Loki again and the interaction between Loki and Thor and seeing that there is something that really binds them together. It's the love for their mother. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. Mother's Day weekend. And for any mothers that might be listening, you'll never know. And I like the interaction with Anthony Hopkins and how he treats both his sons in this film, how he looks at Thor as the one who's eventually going to take over the throne one day, he hopes, and then Loki, the son that now has failed him, you know? And a lot of people like to talk shit about Malekith, the main villain of this movie. And yeah, okay, maybe he might not be a standout villain of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I do think he served his purpose well. He was the villain that wanted revenge and that was going after this Aether, or whatever you want to call it. And yeah, so I thought it was a really cool movie. Kev?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than Iron Man 3. I like that it was more on alien planet than Earth.
Yeah, more on Asgard. Yeah.
Yeah, more on Asgard. Thank you. Type for words.
You want to go to Derek next, and then you can get back on it after.
No, I got this.
Okay.
Try to remember everything. The villain,
Malekith,
was pretty cool. Malekith,
yeah,
and how he was an alien, and I really enjoyed it, and I think that's all I got.
Okay, how about you, Derek?
It was okay. Like I wouldn't really say this movie was an absolute necessary to watch in the Marvel Universe. It was more Asgard. There was more of Thor. Like, if you're a fan of Thor, you'll appreciate the movie. I don't know. For me, it seemed more of like a skippable movie. I didn't really have any strong like liking to it or strong disliking to it. It was okay. I've seen it. It was all right. I don't know. I just wanted to move on. And you saw more of Loki, which is good. And you saw the relationship, which was good. But for me, I don't know how what I think going next to see the third Thor movie, if it's going to actually really be different than this one. I'm hoping it is.
It will be, because we'll talk about this more next week, but the Hulk will be in that one. So that will definitely help shake things up a little bit. And something that I wanted to point out, let's not forget the Aether, the thing that they were trying to get in this movie that kind of possessed Jane Foster, Natalie Portman's character, was one of the Infinity Stones. Remember, they're setting up all these Infinity Stones too, right? The Tesseract from the Avengers and Captain America, the first Avenger, that was one of the Infinity Gems. And then this was actually the second Infinity Gem that we got to see. And which is obviously setting up for Avengers Infinity War down the road. So it kind of does have a little bit of importance there. So next we have Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which came out in 2014 of April. And let's start off with you, Derek. What did you think of it?
Oh, this was a good movie. Actually, I think it was a little bit better than the first Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if you want to see it, it is on Netflix, at least in Canada, by the way. So definitely, I would highly recommend checking it out. A lot of action. It had a little bit Civil War elements to it, at least in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
Which is quite interesting to the show. And yeah, you get to see Bucky a little bit more, and his relationship with Captain America.
Steve Rogers.
Yep. So it was like a great film, a lot of action. I enjoyed it. This was actually a really cool film. A lot of people rate it highly, and I would say that, yeah, it definitely deserves its praise, and you should definitely check it out for a good time. Go on Netflix, and if you haven't seen it, watch it, and I enjoyed it. I had fun with it.
I think this is actually my second favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe film ever. I put it right there, right after the first Avengers film. I think this is a really strong film all the way through, and I know I'm not the only one on this. I know lots of people love The Winter Soldier. And I know there's some people, but I think there's some people out there that just don't care too much for the character of Captain America. I feel like some people look at him like Superman, like they're too Boy Scouty or something like that. I've heard some people use that phrase, which is kind of sad because I think they're great characters. And there's nothing wrong with having a Boy Scout, right, as your main character. Actually, that should be kind of a little bit of inspiration for people to try to be good, man. They're like, be good, just like they are. Help people, whatever. And, yeah, this movie had a great pace, great action. There was definitely a Jason Bourne type of action going on there. Like, the action felt real. I think it felt the most real of any Marvel Cinematic Universe film to date. Maybe that's because Captain America is just such a grounded character that you can be able to do that with him. I don't know, but I thought it was great. We got a little bit more Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. and Black Widow in this one. Actually, as a matter of fact, this movie is my favorite use of Black Widow. I think Scarlett Johansson was used the best in this movie. Because with the Avenger movies, something about her in those films, I mean, she's hot, but she's, for some reason, her character isn't as interesting to me as she is in this film. I think the Russo brothers really know how to use her, and I heard she's more or less the same in Civil War as she is in this film. And Robert Redford, we gotta talk about this guy, because to me, you know, he gets underlooked a little bit because he's not a villain in a costume, you know? But he's the head of Hydra. Hydra comes back in this movie. Hydra shows that they've been hiding for so many years, and they come back with the full force, and he's the leader of it, and he plays it really down, really serious, really grounded. I think he is one of the best Marvel Cinematic Universe villains. Costume or no costume, he definitely not rivals Loki. I don't think he's up to Loki, obviously, but I think he is a really good villain in this movie as well. And yeah, Bucky as well, the Winter Soldier, he is badass. And I can't wait to see him again in Civil War. I'm going to go see it tonight, so I can't wait to see that. What about you, Kev? What do you think of Winter Soldier?
I enjoyed it. I definitely put it up there, right next to the Avengers. What's his name right now? I'm forgetting.
Bucky?
Bucky. Thank you.
Yes.
Was well used in the film. I love the mystery. I love the action, especially. I like how it was kind of it flowed, the action. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how?
Yeah, it was like Jason Bourne.
Yeah,
like, it was fast paced, really cool, really well done. Like
it looked natural. It looked like they were actually in a fight.
Exactly.
You know, this is the, and I also like what's his name? The Falcon.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. I should have... Yeah, exactly.
I really enjoyed his character, too, and how they introduced him and how they didn't really overplay him. Like, mm-hmm. He was just in there just enough to serve his purpose.
Yeah.
And he was very... I thought it was beautifully well done, and the same as the villain.
He's like Iron Man's war machine, man. He's his. Yeah. He's Captain America's sidekick, and he's really badass. He's cool. I agree. I think, and remember, this is also the movie that has a reference, a name drop to Doctor Strange. They have that rooftop scene where they're interrogating one of the agents who, after they find out that Hydra has been infiltrated with, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been infiltrated with Hydra, they get one of the agents, they're interrogating him on the rooftop, and that's where the name drop of Stephen Strange comes out. Setting up, obviously, Doctor Strange, who's finally coming out this year. So it once again shows how much Marvel plans ahead. Like, they're always planting things in all their films, which is always a lot of fun to look for. And this is probably my favorite movie also with Stan Lee's cameo. I think Stan Lee has the best cameo in this movie, where he plays a security guard. One of the best, anyways. Where he plays a security guard and comes in the museum, the Captain America museum, and he sees the Captain America suit missing, and he goes, oh shit, I'm gonna be fired, or something like that. I thought that was funny. Okay, next movie. Guardians of the Galaxy, guys. Who loves Guardians of the Galaxy here? I think we all do, right? So, Kevin, what did you think of Guardians of the Galaxy? Start us off.
I felt it was, an underdog type of thing. Like, I didn't, at first, when when I first heard about Guardians of the Galaxy, I was just like, I don't know about this film. And then when I first saw it, it was, I actually really, really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed the, what's the actor's name who plays the lead? Can't remember his name.
Oh, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. I enjoyed him in Parks and Recreations, and I heard that he would be in this film, and it was like, really? That's a bit of a jump.
Mm-hmm.
But
because he was kind of a chubby guy.
He was a chubby comedian.
Yeah.
So, I mean, especially if you watch Parks and Recreations, you're kind of like, what, him? Like, seriously, going to be a lead role in Guardians of the Galaxy, a hero? And, no, he had the right amount of comedy. He had the right, like, he had a good balance between seriousness and comedy. I enjoyed the space feel of the movie. The villain was a little under, you know.
Most of their villains usually are. Most
yeah,
of their villains. That's what a lot of criticism that the Marvel Cinematic Universe gets. Is that other than Loki, a lot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe villains aren't as interesting.
Yeah, this one particular to me was a bit of a cookie cutter. Like,
mm-hmm.
He's just there to play a villain role.
That's kind of what Malekith in Thor the Dark World also was too.
I guess. I can't remember too much. For some reason I enjoyed that character more than this one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was a little underwhelmed by him. But other than that complaint, the movie was really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Derek?
Oh, it was actually an interesting movie. You take all these characters that no one has ever heard of before, and you take a risk with them and put it into a movie, and it was just turned out to be a very enjoyable movie that not only was fun for kids because they had two interesting characters, Animal and like a kind of a woodsy character, Groot, and the Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids enjoyed that, and then it was also enjoyable for adults. I didn't see it right away, but then after hearing a lot of positive and exciting reviews, I went to go check it out, and yeah, it did serve to be an interesting take on it. It had a lot of reminiscence of a little bit of Star Wars, a little bit of Firefly in it, and they just took all these characters and really made them interact well, and a lot of people started digging it. So Marvel took a risk, and the risk was rewarded, and now after that movie, you could just say that Marvel could take any character and make it an interesting movie, and you could take any two or three characters and make them into a team. So it was a good experiment, and it could have ended badly. It could have been probably one of the weaker of the whole franchise, but it started off strong, and now a lot of people are excited for
Guardians of
the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Excited to see them maybe even team up with the Avengers. And it opens up the whole space kind of aspect to the Marvel Universe, which I think Marvel wants to do when they go closer and closer to Infinity Wars. And I think maybe Guardians of the Galaxy will be a big part of that.
I agree. Yeah, this is the movie that a lot of people I remember at the time were thinking, uh-oh, this is going to be Marvel's first big bomb. It's going to be their first big bomb, and I was one of the few people, I don't know, they have a good track record of movies, and I feel that with this movie, if you do not trust Marvel nowadays, this movie had to have won people over and say, okay, you know what, Marvel can't do nothing wrong. They have had, because this was their 10th film, man, this was their 10th film. With no, you know, and all their films have gotten over 60%. I think Thor the Dark World is their lowest scored film on Rotten Tomatoes with a 66%. So if that's their lowest scored film, that's not bad with a 66%. I think The Incredible Hulk has 67, and I think the rest of them are in the 70s and over, right? So yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, man, surprised a lot of people, and deservingly so, man. And this beat out all the other superhero movies that came out that year. I think the other movies were 2014. It was X-Men Days of Future Past, Captain America the Winter Soldier, and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And Guardians of the Galaxy beat all three of them. I think X-Men Days of Future Past came in second, with Captain America in third, and not surprisingly, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 came in fourth. We'll get into that discussion another time. That will be fun. Okay, so next on the list, we have The Avengers Age of Ultron, the second Avengers movie that had amazing trailers. I'll start this one off. I think this movie, at the time, I wasn't a huge fan of this movie. I'll admit, I was kind of underwhelmed by it. And as the years, it came out last year, I watched it obviously more times, a couple more times since then. And it's grown on me a lot more lately. So now, even though I still don't think it's the best of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I don't think it's the worst. I just think it's kind of a been there, done that situation. And I was expecting a lot more from it. I felt the villain, Ultron, he was good. I just felt he wasn't as interesting as Loki, you know what I mean? And the character interactions was cool. I liked all of that. It was a little bit more slower paced than the first Avengers as well, I feel. And I think that's pretty much my opinion on it. Derek?
Well, you could definitely see this film on Netflix. This is also out, so if you are listening to this podcast and you want to actually take a look at it, I suggest taking a look at it. It is the second in the Avengers series, but yeah, it is not as strong as the first Avengers. And the villain, I actually was excited for him. It was supposed to be one of the big like Avenger villains. This is not just solely to one of the Avenger characters. This was an Avenger villain, Ultron. And
I agree with that. But I just feel, I don't know, it hadn't, like Loki also, it didn't really have much to do with him being connected to Thor. I just felt Loki had more layers to him. I feel Ultron had layers too, but I don't know. Continue.
He was a computer that just went crazy. And
yeah.
They explained it with Infinity Gems as well, and they brought that aspect into it. So it is an important movie to watch to really see that character. And the other character that now his name escapes me, the android character that they also brought in, and they're going to be featuring him in the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
So they introduced that character as well. It wasn't really as exciting as Avengers 1. It wasn't really as action-packed. They also had a little bit more of Scarlet Witch and
Quicksilver.
Yeah, Quicksilver was actually quite cool, seeing how they use his superpowers. Kind of different than what they do on The Flash. They really, really slow down time, and you get to see him interact with like everything standing still. So that was quite interesting how they use a speedster in that way. But it's okay. It's all right. It's not an absolutely amazing film. And I would say still check it out.
Yes.
Again, it's on Netflix, so it's there for you to see. And not that I hated it, and I enjoyed it a little bit, so it's still fun. But I'm now looking forward to Civil War, and I think that one will really be what Avengers 2 should have been.
Yes. How about you, Kev? What do you think of Age of Ultron?
I enjoyed it. Maybe not as much as the first one.
I think we can. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that part.
Yeah, I liked Ultron as well. I don't really have any many complaints about him. I thought he was well used. I like the two Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. They were very well done as well. Not much else to say other than that.
What did you guys think of... Okay, so we had Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, right? And Fox and Marvel have a deal with those two characters. Like, both of them are allowed to use those characters, but they're not allowed to use the same actors. And Fox is not allowed to reference the Avengers, and Marvel's not allowed to reference Magneto or mutants or anything like that. But they both used Quicksilver. They both used them. Days of Future Past had Quicksilver the year before, played by Evan Peters. This one had Aaron Taylor Johnson playing Quicksilver. Which Quicksilver, this is my question to both of you, which Quicksilver did you enjoy more?
Well, jeez. Kind of putting us on the spot there. They kind of used them both in a similar way, haven't they?
No, not really. No. The Quicksilver in Days of Future Past is more comedic. I actually... a lot of people would say the Days of Future Past version is probably the more enjoyable version. I have to agree with that.
I am in agreement with that as well.
Wasn't that the scene where there's like all that food or
the
something?
Kitchen? Yeah, that was the Days of Future Past version.
Yeah, then that one was
that was the more badass version. And it's kind of weird because when that first picture of Days of Future Past was released of Quicksilver in that jacket and stuff, people were like already judging it like, oh, Fox is going to screw this up. They're going to ruin Quicksilver. Thank goodness Marvel had it. And then it's funny because as soon as Age of Ultron came out, it's like it switched. It's like, nope, Fox actually did the better version. And, you know, you think that Marvel would have had the better version of Quicksilver, right? They know their characters. But that's proof that Fox is getting things right nowadays with the X-Men stuff. So they know...
I have a question.
Yep.
Which one had more time on screen, though?
It was the Days of the Age of Ultron. Quicksilver in Days of Future Past didn't have a lot of time. He was only there for maybe altogether 20 minutes, and then he left after 15, 20 minutes, maybe. He was only there briefly. He didn't even go to the final battle, remember? But he is going to be back in this year's X-Men Apocalypse, so we're going to see that character again in there. So that's going to be cool. Oh, by the way, we can't go talking about Age of Ultron and not mention the Vision. I just realized none of us mentioned the Vision.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. What did we think of the Vision?
I kind of mentioned it with the Android.
Oh,
I
did you?
The name was Vision.
I thought you were talking about Ultron, that's why.
Yeah, he's an interesting addition. We'll kind of see how he impacts the Marvel Universe. And he has that Infinity Gem, so
yeah,
that might come into play later on.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Vision, too. I thought he was a really interesting character. He's very different from the others. And my favorite part in the movie, one of my favorite scenes and moments, is when, because early in the film, they had all the characters trying to pick up Thor's hammer, remember? And then it paid off later. You thought that was, okay, that was just for fun stuff. But that was actually a little setup for us to remember down the road, because then Vision picks up his hammer later on in the movie. And it's like, oh, because they pointed out to us that only he who is worthy can lift up Thor's hammer, right? And that was the proof that they needed, that this guy is on our side, you know? He is worthy. He can pick up Thor's hammer too. So I thought that was a lot of fun. How about you, Kev?
Yeah, same. I'm in agreement with that. Really enjoy those scenes, especially when he comes. The first time he comes and he picks up the hammer as well.
Isn't he a robot, though? Can't all robots?
Yeah. He's more advanced than Ultron.
Yeah.
Remember, because Ultron was trying to create Vision, he was creating that body for himself, Ultron, so he could be the most powerful being or robot ever created,
next
right?
Four.
Exactly. So instead, the Avengers used it to transfer Jarvis in there, and that's how Vision was created.
Jarvis
is now the Vision. Because at the end there also, I didn't notice this the first time, but the second and third time, it was either the second or third time I watched Age of Ultron, I noticed that Iron Man now has a new voice, a new computer voice in his head, and it's a woman now. That was the way they got a woman now to kind of show us the difference now. That now he doesn't have Jarvis. Now he created something else to guide him when he needs it. So now we move on to the last movie in Phase 2, guys. This is the last movie, Ant-Man. Now, I should also note that starting in 2014, you know, we got Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy. In 2015, we got Age of Ultron and Ant-Man. Now, what Marvel was doing here, if you didn't notice the pattern, their plan from starting from 2014 onward was to release an old character and release a new character each year. So you're going to see that pattern even this year. Right now, we got Captain America Civil War, who's the old character. Now we got Doctor Strange, who is the new character, coming out this year. So I think this is a really interesting pattern that they're starting to have. So that way it doesn't get, you know, oh, another Avengers-type character like Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man all in a row, you know? I think this is actually nice to give us an old character and a new character each year. So that way it's not like all these old characters all in a row, you know what I mean? And Ant-Man was the one that came out with Age of Ultron last year. And I'm going to say, I think this was a really fun film. This was, the first trailer, didn't look that great. But one thing that was getting to me was the special effects, on how cool the special effects looked for this movie. I was thinking to myself, this is like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but with better special effects. And when I saw the movie, it was a lot of fun. I thought Paul Rudd kicked ass as Ant-Man. I thought Michael Douglas was a great Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man. The Easter eggs to the Avengers universe was really cool. The villain, again, he was one of those other Marvel Cinematic Universe villains that weren't that great, but he was okay. Falcon being in there too was also a lot of fun. Kev, what did you think of Ant-Man? Kev?
Excuse me, sorry.
Ant-Man. What are you doing, sleeping?
I was yawning.
Oh, okay, good.
What do you think about the movie?
Sleeping about the movie?
No, I enjoyed it. After the success of Guardians of the Galaxy, I was a little bit more open to it. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit more ready. However, the news did scare me that they pulled out the director and then...
Oh, yeah. Edgar Wright, yeah.
Edgar Wright, yeah.
Because he directed Scott Pilgrim versus the World, as well as... I believe he also directed Shaun of the Dead and other movies like that. He's a fan favorite director, I know that.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I remember sitting there watching it and being like, it's not the best, but it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The actors were pretty good. The villain, like you said, was a little bit just a generic villain.
Yeah.
However, I do like his character. Because there was times where he broke cliche things. Like that one scene where I thought he was going to say something to the girl like, "Oh, I figured you out." But instead he's just like, "Do you think this jacket looks good?" type of thing. Like,
yeah.
There was times like you thought they were playing him stupid, but he was still actually pretty smart.
Yeah.
Because in the end, he's like, you know, he revealed that he had figured it out. It's just he was downplaying things.
Yeah.
Like he was being cautious at the same time, which is pretty good.
Yeah. How about you, Derek? Ant-Man. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Actually, it's on Netflix again, so anyone has Netflix, go check it out. Actually, I recommend this one as well.
Netflix should pay us for, like, advertising them.
I guess. Well, I just find it easily accessible. You could, just go on.
No, I agree, yeah.
It's not like you have to
I'm just
download
kidding,
it or something. And this is actually one of the movies that I watched on Netflix. I didn't go on the theaters because I guess... Maybe to me, Ant-Man wasn't as an interesting hero, but then I was kind of pleasantly surprised when I actually did see the movie. It had It was funny, and it was very interesting scenes when you like was small, and you kind of see. I always go back to when you kind of see that it was an intense scene, but then when the camera zooms out and you see that it's a little children's playset, and all that action and all that drama was, I didn't really see that dramatic in real life.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny and kind of cool to witness. This is actually Marvel beating DC to the punch. DC tried to get their own shrinking superhero going in the Arrow series, and I think Marvel beat them out.
So. Well, yeah, look, that was on TV, though, right?
Yeah, so I know. It's
not fair. And yeah. I think I like that character, Ray Palmer, on Arrow, or now on Legends of Tomorrow. I think he's an enjoyable character, and played by a former Superman, which is really cool.
And it's a lot of fun. I kind of like the villain a little bit better, I guess, maybe because it was more central to the Ant-Man universe.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a little bit, like you said, it's kind of generic. It will come and then it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie, fun laughs, and I would say check it out if you can.
Netflix.
Netflix. Yeah, I know. Exactly.
It's on Netflix. iTunes also. iTunes also has it. There's a lot of ways people can find this movie.
Is it essential to the Marvel Universe, though?
He is going to be in Civil War, and he will be part of the Avengers. I think all these movies will somehow be essential into this. So far, the only one that hasn't been is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Then Guardians,
you have Thanos, but that's about it. Yeah. Like, the story wise, and the Infinity Stone, they have also one of the Infinity Stones in that one too, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, okay, they all factor into it somehow. Story wise, yeah, maybe, okay, this one doesn't really factor into the overall story arc, but we don't need it to always factor into it all. It's nice to have some that stand on their own once in a while.
What else was I going to get at? You have the little connection with...
With Falcon, yeah.
Falcon.
But it was a nice little cameo, yeah. And Spider-Man's references in this movie. They kind of reference Spider-Man at the very end when Falcon is looking for him. One of the people say, they're asked, like, oh, so what kind of superheroes do you have in your... that you're looking for or something. And she says, oh, we have somebody that swings, that climbs walls, you know, stuff like that. And obviously a little reference to Spider-Man, which we're going to see him now in Civil War. So, yeah, I mean, so this was the end of Phase 2, which is really cool. My question to you, Derek, before we finish this video, do you watch the end credit scenes? Because I think it's a tradition for a lot of people now. Whenever I go to see these movies in the theaters, lots of people always stay during the credits now. So do you watch the end credit scenes?
As a general question?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes...
On all the films? Or
It depends. Like, sometimes... Like,
if you didn't like the movie, screw it.
Who you're with and stuff like that.
Oh, I see.
You're just like, I may check it out on YouTube after, or... Mm-hmm. Or there's so many different ways to get that footage now. It's not like you have to.
Yeah, that's true.
But sometimes the end credit scenes are like little teasers. Like it was
sometimes there's really good ones though. Sometimes there's like, I could have skipped this one.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But there's been times like I'm trying to think of one that was dumb that I stayed during that was like, ugh. I think it was the Guardians of the Galaxy one. With Howard the Duck at the end. I mean, it was nice, but it was like one that I could have skipped.
Like,
I wouldn't have missed anything. I could have just watched it on DVD. Because I stay in the theaters for all of them, eh? I don't, and lots of other people do too. So if it's, I feel the Winter Soldier had some really good ones.
Well, its whole impact on the whole movie watching crowd. Yeah. Now a lot of people are staying back, even on other films that are not even
related. Even when they don't have it, yeah.
Yeah, but even other films that are not even related to Marvel people, some people are, will this film have something at the end?
Like DC, like with Batman v Superman, I heard some people did stay behind to see if they would have added something, but DC doesn't do that. Yeah, so It shows how what Marvel has done, that now people are like aware of all this and like don't want to miss anything, the super nerds like us and other people. So I guess we're going to end this here, guys. This was another satisfying episode. We talked a lot. This episode even ran longer, just past the 1 hour mark. So yeah, I really had fun, guys. I hope you guys did too. Derek, you any closing statements?
Oh, you could always follow me on Twitter, Derico. You could also hit me up. I'm walking down the street, you know, give me a high five. Now that I'm famous, episode two, you know, like my groupies, yeah, I can sign all your autographs now. Like, it's great, you know. Yeah. Who knows what's next? I will be in the next Marvel film. Just look out for that.
How about you, Kevin? Sign off? Anything you want to plug in?
Just, you can find me at Kevin_Jurdale on Twitter. And that's basically it for me.
And as usual, me, you can find me on Twitter at iCrazyDavy. And on YouTube, David Jordeo, that's my name. And until next time, guys, I hope you join in next time. And we'll be talking about Captain America Civil War and onwards. I don't know if Derek will have the chance to see it, but we'll see. If he doesn't, he can still join us anyways, and we'll do a non-spoiler thing so he doesn't get spoiled. And until
next... Just ditch me.
And until next time...
take care.
Peace. I'm going to say what? Peace. Yes, I'm changing it up.
Peace.
Peace.
And love.
And love.